Amen. I want to preach to us this morning on prerequisites to the miraculous. We're serving a God of miracles. God is a miraculous God. There's nothing worldly about our God. There's nothing carnal about our God. There's nothing normal, as far as humanity is concerned, about our God. Our God is a miraculous God. He's a God that never fails. Amen. That's why it's so important that you and I learn to depend on Him, trust in Him, and learn His voice. Because He never fails. So if I want to get in on that type of life, then I'm going to have to build some things in my life so that I'll never fail. Praise God. Hallelujah. As humanity, we are prone. We are prone. That Adamic nature is prone to go astray. But that new man, if he is built up, amen, then he will give us the right perspective and the right direction of life. So this morning, if you will, Matthew chapter number 13 is going to be our opening text. And if you would, you can stand with us when you find that. I'm going to read about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 scriptures this morning, and pressing towards prerequisites to the miraculous. And the word prerequisite, and sometimes it'll be hard for me to spit that out, and I may just change it to something else. It's things that you do so that you can be ready or enter into the miraculous. We have a part to play in our salvation. And this is a message to help us see if we play the right parts, we will always see the miraculous going on in our lives and around our lives. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Amen. You may be seated again this morning. Thank you for standing for the reading of our text and the reading of God's word this morning. I have several more scriptures I'm going to share with us this morning. Amen. Prerequisites to the miraculous. Here we find Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. He's in his own hometown. He's in his own home synagogue. He is teaching them. He's reading scripture to them. And it is bringing about an astonishment, an amazement, that this man has this wisdom. And then even the mighty works that he has been doing. But then all of a sudden, here comes the enemy. All of a sudden, here comes the questions. Is this not the carpenter's son? Right here before their face. Right here in their ears. They've already acknowledged the wisdom that he has. The teaching that he's doing. They've already acknowledged the miraculous power, the mighty works that he has done. And they have seen. But all of a sudden, they start saying, "Oh, now wait a minute." It's kind of like that proverbial, "What if?" My response to that is, what if you didn't say what if? And you just said yes. Woo! No, I'm talking about prerequisites to the miraculous. Here was the miracle worker. Here it was already voiced that he was the miracle worker and that he was wise in the Word of God and in the Scriptures. But yet then they begin to look at the natural realm. Then they begin to look at the circumstances around them. This is how the enemy always works. Just about the moment you're going to step up and believe God, he brings that what if. I remember when I was seeking the baptism in the Holy Ghost, that was my biggest fear. What if this is not the Holy Ghost? Matter of fact, that was my only fear. My greatest fear. Because I wanted to make sure. And just to be transparent this morning, when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, the instant it happened, because I was at home, I knew it was God. But in the midst of it happening, here it came. What if it's not? And then I began to think, well, that's probably just the enemy trying to confuse me. And I quenched the spirit right there in my house, in my home. And I struggled with that all that week until the next church service. And as the Spirit of God began to move on me again, of course, you got to realize, in my mind, I was thinking it was the enemy. And I was fighting against it. Until a wise preacher came by, perceived what was happening, not knowing how I was wrestling or what thoughts I had, but knowing that the Spirit of God was moving upon me. He simply said, "Brother Pepper, that is the Holy Ghost. And that is all I needed to hear." And all my fears were relinquished, and faith had its way, and I received that baptism in the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave me utterance. You see, this is what I'm after here this morning, is to bring us into the place where our ordinary daily lives are lives where the enemy bombards our minds with fear, with doubt, with unbelief. But the Spirit of God is continually trying to bring forth the truths of the kingdom so I can have the miraculous going on in my life and in our lives. And notice that it said in verse 50, and they were offended in him. That means they were mad at him. Well, who did he think he is? They were jealous. Because he had something they didn't have. You see, the enemy works that way a lot of times, you know, when someone else gets filled with the Holy Ghost and we haven't, we become jealous. Well, why are they filled and I haven't been? And then we start kind of, you know, this is the response that we get. So here this morning, hear me. Hear the Word of God. Hear the Spirit of God. And if you'll respond to these truths this morning, you will have the miraculous working in your life. Amen. Number one, the first step, the first prerequisite to the miraculous, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For it by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. This is kind of an explanation of how faith operates. And our faith is based upon the Word of God. Because that's how everything was framed that's in this world, was by the Word of God. So we see then, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Prerequisite to the miraculous. The reward of God will always be miraculous. Amen. No matter how it happens or how it works, if it's just a word fitly spoken and we receive it in our heart that changes a decision in our life, some might say, well, that's not miraculous. Oh, yes, it is. Because if you changed your mind, that is miraculous. Woo, hello. The hardest thing for individuals of humanity to do is to change their mind. Woo, hello. Well, a lot of times we think, well, I just need God to miraculously do something. Well, what he's going to miraculously do is bring you to the place where you change your mind. Hello, follow with me, because there's a purpose to something that transpires when you change your mind instead of expecting God to change his. Woo. So faith is the first step to the miraculous. It is the first. Without faith, God's word declared it, it is impossible to please God. So fear, doubt, unbelief is not pleasing to God, because it is not what he has brought into this world through his son Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What he has brought into this world through Jesus Christ is grace and truth, which produces faith. Praise our God. So the first step is, I've got to have faith in God, that he is the miraculous God. Hallelujah. I'm just going to run through these prerequisites, and then we'll close with the consummation or the consummation of everything about your life has to become miraculous. I preached a little along these lines on Thursday night, not exactly this direction, but yet it seems to be the direction God's taking us here at the end of this year, and we're heading into a new year. And he's wanting us to get it on our minds and in our hearts that it's going to be a year of the miraculous. Woo. He has spoken that to us in tongues and interpretation of what he's wanting to do. And so now here, this morning, I thoroughly believe this message, if I'll lay a hold of it, if you'll lay a hold of it, he will be able to perform that which he has promised. Amen. Oh, wow. I mean, there's so many things running through my mind this morning, church. When I speak of these things, and then all the men and the women in the Bible, I'm sorry, it's just the way my mind works. Start running through my mind of who, when they did these steps, the miraculous was there. Because it's not going to be there without these prerequisites. It will not be unless God sovereignly does something. But if you and I are walking with him, very few and far between when God sovereignly does something to the child of God. Many times God will sovereignly move upon the lost. But when it comes to the child of God, guess what? You and I are supposed to walk with him. He shouldn't have to come down and grab us by the hand and say, get up here. Whoa. But sometimes he does in his grace. Hallelujah, because we should always be right there ready to move with him. Amen. In the miraculous. So faith is the number one step. I've got to have faith. Without it, I cannot please him. And the next prerequisite, next thing that's going to have to then be cultivated or brought into being, and my part, is found in Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Step one, I've got to have faith that God is, and that God will bring the miraculous to me, because he's the God of miracles. So I've got to believe that. That will lead me to the second step of presenting myself wholly to God. Let's spell it like this, W-H-O-L-L-Y. All of me, presenting it to God. Not just part, all. That means I'm bringing my mind, my personality, my love, my spirit, my ambitions, everything I am, I'm bringing it and giving it to God. You see, if I'm holding back on God, well, then God's going to hold back on me. You see, this is the way it works, church, in the kingdom of God. He's got to be the king. He must be the Lord. And if I believe that He is God, then I also must believe that I've got to present myself to Him. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. Presenting my body. When it talks about my body, it's talking about everything that this body contains. Because I am a vessel. He's given me a mind. He's given me strength. Hallelujah. He's given me ambitions. He's given me desires. But all that pulled together, if you will, gift wrapped in a package, if you will, it's Christmas time, and presented unto Him, Lord, here I am, your vessel. Oh, glory to God. Oh, my. Can you imagine what God can do with someone that will just give themselves to Him? All of themselves? Oh, that's the hardest part, to give all, because we are creatures of self-preservation. Some more than others. I'm one of them more than others. Self-preservation. I don't know where you fit in the deal, but, you know, everybody can figure out what to do to persevere for themselves, to get things for themselves. But what I've got to do is I've got to bring all of me and present it unto Him as that living sacrifice. Hallelujah. For Him to do with as He will. Glory to our God. Wow. We're headed on the road to the miraculous right here. I mean, we've got faith that God is the miracle worker. We are now presenting ourselves into His hands. Amen. Spirit, soul, and body. All of us. Amen. Giving it, presenting it back to Him as a living sacrifice. In other words, they're not going to take us to the altar and sacrifice us up, kill us and let our blood run out, and a sacrifice to God and die for God. No, I mean, there is martyrs, don't misunderstand me, but what He's after most of all is that living sacrifice. Basically becoming like you are dead and alive unto God. That living sacrifice. So that's step number two. That's the second prerequisite to the miraculous. These things are going to have to be there. Just because you have faith. The Bible does say if you have faith, you can move mountains. But what I'm sharing with you is if you have faith that will move mountains, this is what it's going to produce in your personal life. You know, because we got a lot of people out there that are trying to move mountains, but they're not fulfilling all the prerequisites to be right in the sight of God. And a lot of times they're pushing on those mountains real hard and saying, I've got faith, I got faith, I got faith. Yeah, but what you don't have is a living sacrifice. That's why it ain't happening. That's why you have now false miracles, false wonders, because they didn't want to do the second step, the second prerequisite to the miraculous. They just wanted it off the first step without the rest of their lives being involved. God wants all of us. Amen. So now we have faith. Faith produces that desire for the living sacrifice. And the next step, it's really a simple one, but sometimes we forget it. George Mueller forgot it. George Mueller was a man that built an orphanage and got it all built, believed God for all the funds, believed God for all the workers, believed God for all the food. And the first day they opened the orphanage and they're sitting there all day long and no orphans came. He's like, did I miss it? What went wrong here? And then he realized, I prayed for all these things and God brought them to pass. I forgot to pray for orphans. And they began to pray that bring in orphans, and the next day they were filled to capacity. You see, sometimes we forget to pray. we forget to ask God. Simply, Luke 11:9, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" That's kind of a little far-fetched deal, but Jesus Christ is trying to produce and push the point. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Woo, praise God. The next step to the miraculous is then asking. Why? Because I've already believing that he's the miracle-working God. And I am giving myself wholly unto him. And now I need to ask for what it is that I need to serve him, to honor him, to glorify his name, to be a witness for him. In other words, everything I'm asking is pertaining to my spiritual life and my spiritual man, my spiritual strength and the power from above. This is what he's talking about when he gives these promises. It's for the furtherance of my walk with God. So we see then now, if we've got faith, he's a miracle worker, and we're giving ourselves wholly unto him, and we start asking him to teach us, train us, fill us with his... You're getting the picture here. I've got to ask. You have not, because you ask not. It's not just automatic. You must ask for those things that you desire from God. When you're in the midst of your tribulation, in your midst of your troubles, in the midst of your temptations, you got to ask for help. Praise our God. So here we see, first step, faith. Second step, presenting myself, living sacrifice to the Lord. Third step, asking. It's a perpetual thing. It's in the tense here of continuing to ask, building that prayer life. Praise our God. And number four, believe it or not, the last one this morning. James chapter 1, verse 25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." That perfect law of liberty is the truths of the kingdom of God, found in God's word. That perfect law of liberty is that relationship with the word, Jesus Christ. And as long as we're looking to Jesus Christ and hearing Jesus Christ, and please understand, when you're hearing from Jesus Christ, his word is what he'll be speaking. His truths is what he'll be speaking. Amen. A lot of folks, want to claim to hear from God, and everything they're wanting to do doesn't line up with God's word. Well, then you didn't hear from God. The word and God's voice will always synchronize, go together. Hallelujah. And so we see in Acts 5:32, it says, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So our fourth prerequisite this morning to the miraculous is obedience. Just simple obedience. Sometimes it will be as simple as arising from your seat and marching to that altar. In obedience, Spirit of God. Obedience, knowing that this altar is the place God has designed for me to make a move of faith. See, there's faith. A move of faith of bringing myself here. You see, if I don't want to come here, am I giving my all to him? Can he bring me here? If not, then I haven't given my all. I'm not a living sacrifice. I'm not a vessel he can do with what he wants to do, because I might say, well, Lord, if you can do it up here, you can do it back here. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Mary's son? Doesn't his brothers and sisters? Are you seeing what happens when you want to argue with where you'll be touched by God? When God says, come here. I'm not saying you have to come here, because I know you don't. But if he's drawing you here, then you have to. Or you'll not have the miraculous. I hope you're getting the understanding and the picture here this morning. If you're desiring the miraculous things of God in your life, then there are prerequisites or things that you must accomplish in your heart and in your mind. And these are four of them that if they really are met, you will find the miraculous. You will find the power of God. And obedience is the fourth one here that we're dealing with, is that obedience to God and God's word. When he brings it to me, then he expects me to believe it and live it. That's obedience. Amen. Hallelujah. And you see, that's the kind of relationship God wants to have with you and I. He wants to have a relationship with the miraculous. Taking me to places in life that I could never go there in my own natural man. You see, that's why I must be born again. That's why I've got to be born again by the Spirit of God. What is that? Well, that's that step of faith. Amen. That I believe that God is. And that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And what I need is salvation. Hello. Then I've got to walk these steps to find my salvation. You see, when I'm lost and sin is controlling my life, these are some things that I can do so that sin's not the controller anymore. These are steps humanity can do. Believe God that he is. Give yourself to him. Your choice. You have that power. You have that right. Ask. You've got a voice. You've got breath in your lungs. Whether you're saved or lost, you have these things. Amen. And be obedient. Well, you have that choice also. See, it's a choice of whether I obey or not. Where the miraculous comes in is when I choose these things. Then he comes with his power. And it brings my faith to a higher level. Hallelujah. If I'm lost and I'm coming to salvation, it will open my blinded eyes and I will see the sinfulness of my life. And then I will cry out, Lord, have mercy on me. And he will cleanse me with his blood. And I'll step up with a new creature created inside of me. And I followed every one of these prerequisites for that to happen. Why? Well, because I realized I need help from God. And God is the only one that can help me. And I come to him knowing that my life is a wreck. And I begin to ask for his mercy and for his help. And then he begins to show me my sin. And in obedience, I confess my sin. Wow. And right there, I'm born again by the Spirit of God. And a new creature is created inside of me. But it's not over yet. Not at all. Because now I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. I need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. How am I going to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost? I'm going to have to have faith in God. I'm going to have to come willing to give myself wholly to him. I'm going to have to ask. And then when he begins to fill me, I'm going to have to be obedient. Glory. See, Christianity is not hard. It is very simple. What makes it hard is the stubbornness of humanity. That. But on God's side, it's as easy as falling off a log, if you will. Because he says, here I am. Just have faith in me. Just come to me. Present yourself to me. Ask, and I will hear and respond to what I say, and you will have the miraculous. So So now I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. If you need healing this morning, here's the four prerequisites to get your healing. If you need deliverance here this morning, here's the four prerequisites that you will have deliverance. Hallelujah. Praise our God. If you need wisdom, here's the prerequisites to get it. Because wisdom is miraculous. If you need revival, well, here's the four prerequisites that'll get you there. If you need renewal, here's the four prerequisites that will get you there. Hallelujah. If you need are you getting the picture this morning, church? There is a part that I have to play as a human being to enter into the miraculous realm of God. And if I will do these prerequisites, and I will allow them influence in my decisions, then the miraculous will show up every time. I guess this morning, as I'm closing, probably one of the greatest individuals in the Bible that displayed these four steps was a little woman called Mary. Because Mary had faith with God, or faith in God. And the reason I know that, because when the angel came, he said, "Thou art highly favored." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Thou art highly favored. That means she had faith. She was waiting on God. She was seeking God. She had faith. The angel began to speak. She presented her body. When she found out, these two went hand in hand. The faith was there, thus the presentation of her vessel was there. That living sacrifice. She said, "How can these things be?" She asked. And the answer came, "The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee." And here's the obedience. "Be it unto thy handmaid, as thou hast said." Now tell me, did the miraculous happen? Glory. That's just one. But that is one of the greatest ones. Hallelujah, in all the history of mankind. Of someone that who gave themselves wholly to God. Knowing what it was going to bring into her life. It was going to bring chaos into her life. And possibly death. But she had enough faith in God that if this is what God wanted done, and this was God's son, she knew she wasn't going to die. God, hallelujah to the Lamb. Prerequisites to the miraculous, church, is where we're headed in 2019. Prerequisites to the miraculous is where we're headed this morning. Amen. If you need to be saved this morning, if you haven't been born again by the Spirit of God, and you want to be born again by the Spirit of God, then right here's the way to get it done. You want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost this morning? This is the way to get it done. You want healing in your body this morning? This is the way that it's going to happen. Unless he speaks like he did to Paul and say, "My grace is sufficient for you." See, Paul knew these. Amen. These all come right out of God's word. Paul knew these. That's why he was seeking God for his healing. He knew God was the healer. He knew he was meeting every one of these prerequisites. He was doing everything he needed to be doing. And God said, "Not this time. My grace will see you through." Ooh, praise God. So he got an answer, didn't he? And basically it was a miraculous answer. He wasn't healed, but he had power to go on through. Wow, that's miraculous. Amen. Galatians 3:2, I'm closing as someone's coming to the piano. "This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" If you're trying to count your own merits of how good you've been to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost, you're headed the wrong direction. It's not how you receive it. You receive by, number one, faith, presenting the vessel. Here I am. Number two, asking. And then when he comes and fills, obedience, speaking in other tongues. Yeah, it's scary because it's miraculous. There ain't nothing miraculous that's not scary. Amen. But that is what's going to transpire when my faith brings me to the place that I'm ready to give it all, and I'm asking for God to give it to me, then he is going to give it to me, and then I've got to be obedient and receive it. Because sometimes, like I said, I shared my testimony, I was fearful. And once I got over the fearfulness and realized that was God, then I became that obedient vessel. I knew God was the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. I knew I was giving myself wholly unto him. I was asking. Oh, I was asking. But I couldn't come to that place of obedience when he came. Oh. But once I grabbed a hold of step number four, I was filled. I was filled. Hallelujah. And every other miraculous event in my life came right down this road. Came as I walked this way. Came as I fulfilled the prerequisites of the miraculous. Hallelujah. Church, God is still on his throne. He still saves the lost. He still baptizes in the Holy Ghost. He still heals bodies. He still delivers. He still revives. He still refreshes. He still leads and guides in knowledge of grace and truth. He's still working the miraculous works of his great plan of salvation. It's just as miraculous as when it began with that baby born in a manger. Stand with me. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving your Son. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for being that child given. Thank you, Lord, for coming and being that babe in a manger. There's reasons why he came that way. So that he would be rightfully heir, or the rightful heir, to the throne of David. He was the rightful heir to the throne of God, but he became the rightful heir to the throne of David in the natural realm. That's why he's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because he will rule and reign in righteousness on the face of this earth, as was promised to King David. That there would never fail him a son to sit on the throne. He will be the eternal king. He is the eternal king. Hallelujah. Lift your hands with me here this morning. God of heaven, we praise your mighty name. God, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful work. Lord God of salvation. God, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning, Lord God, and the manifestation of your spirit, your presence, Lord, your strength, your courage, your help. God of heaven, continue the work you've begun here this morning. Hallelujah. Continue the work you've begun this morning. Lord God, as we now see the path that we must draw. Lord, as we now see the way that leads to your will being done on earth as it is in heaven, in our lives on a personal plane. Hallelujah. Glory to our God. Praise be to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. God of heaven, you are the God of miracles. You never fail. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the faith, Lord, you're stirring in our hearts. Praise be to the King. Glory to our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's come around the altars.